This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
The Rob Brown Show, back on your radio. It's the Fan Upstate. Zoe, I always do. It's all I know how to do, to be honest with you, is just be a classy dude.
Yeah, I'm a little concerned about where you're going now. So, I mean, you
know. No, not at all. I'm interested in your initial and immediate knee-jerk reaction to that story we were talking about in the last segment. Like, I know that to fully comprehend and understand, which, again, like, I'm combination working on comprehending slash also fantasy booking where it's going to go based on all right. We've read. What's your knee-jerk reaction? Right.
My reaction is this is akin to the guy in Ohio trying to make a noon kickoffs not a thing. It's much ado about it. It's just, look, I'm working. I'm doing something. Nothing's going to come of it. I don't believe. It's hard
the
to
Tennessee
under,
part yeah, or the NCAA or the
Tennessee,
document
the Tennessee part. Okay. I think it's pointless. I don't think it does anything because it's not. It doesn't clearly describe what it's doing. I think this is just another case of politicians trying to look like they're doing something.
I
know I am anti-politics. It don't matter what side you're on, but I mean, if it's something productive, that's easy to, if I can understand it, anybody else can. I don't get it. I don't get what it actually does, what it prevents, and I think it's useless and it's a waste of Tennessee taxpayer dollars. And I'm concerned about Tennessee taxpayer dollars.
I'm sure you are. Tennessee Senate Bill 536, and that is not necessarily the trigger for this document. This document has apparently been in at least a very rough draft of its whatever final bill is going to be down the line for some time now. College sports authorities, I will say, have been discussing this as a possibility for a couple of months now. And again, I think it makes sense that they would, that the power players at the heart of college sports, obviously primarily football, would be interested in working towards a way that they could all work together to say, here is what is allowed and what is not. The best thing that the players have going for them is this house settlement. This house settlement is obviously what is creating both the multi-billion dollars in back pay to former athletes, as well as the revenue sharing plan for athletic departments going forward to put some of the profits of college, again, primarily football, but college athletics at large, into the pockets of the athletes who participate. that's the strongest legal tool that the athletes, players, agents have going for them right now. The folks at the conference levels, the folks at the school levels, obviously want to do whatever they can do to protect themselves, both legislatively, legally, and try to keep as many dollars in their own pockets as is possible. That is the ultimate goal for them as well. However, some states are going to be willing, as there is no blanket set of regulations that covers all schools. Some states are going to be willing to create legally, legislatively, advantages for their schools in their state. Because while you may look at it and go, why is a politician up to the governor of the state of Tennessee involved in college sports? Yeah, I think you got to look at this from the financial standpoint, from the money standpoint. Tennessee athletics, Tennessee sports, and I'm talking about football. I am talking about a very good baseball program. I'm talking about a very proficient women's basketball school. I'm talking about, obviously, a legendary men's basketball program. Tennessee is massive to the community of Knoxville financially. It is also massive to the state of Tennessee as well. As long as they remain prestigious in sports, it will also give them a leg up in being a prestigious university, meaning more people are going to want to be there, meaning that they will have more alums that will be involved, that will stay in the state of Tennessee for work, et cetera, et cetera. Investing in, and this is where it is going to be a little bit political philosophy, for a lot of people, and this is in my opinion, and I can go find it backed up by data, investing in your state universities and colleges is an investment in the future of your state, because many, many, many students who graduate college stay in the state that they graduated college from. So if you are cranking out students from a prestigious university in Tennessee, it is more likely that they will stay in the state of Tennessee and generate money for that state. But also, it is important to people that their school's athletic programs be good. And so if the state of Tennessee can craft legislatively advantages for their schools over the schools in other states, that is going to help them ensure that their state's schools are good at football, which is a huge income-generating thing for many of these schools and therefore many of the states in which they reside. So, the whole premise behind it is that, sure, it may look on a surface-level evaluation like it is just some politicians that are trying to garner favor from fans of the University of Tennessee. Because let's keep it a buck. You, me, and everybody else have a couple of people in our lives that would vote for a politician who says, I'm going to make Tennessee football great again. There are people who would vote for a guy just based on that. And so if the campaign platform, I mean, would you be shocked if Bill Lee, the governor of Tennessee, and I'm not super versed on Tennessee politics, so I don't know if he's got a re-election available or not, but let's say he does for the sake of the conversation. And if he doesn't, let's say he was going to try to move on from being the governor to running for the House of Representatives or the senator as a politician from Tennessee representing in Washington, D.C. Do you think for a second that it's not a hell of a political pitch in Tennessee to go, I created a platform for the Tennessee Volunteers to thrive above other SEC schools, above other schools nationally? And if they can say that, and especially if with these advantages handed to them by the state legislature, Tennessee does start to make its way back to national powerhouse, you think that's not gaining him some damn votes in that state? Of course he is. Of course it is.
That's kind of my point.
Yeah, of course it is. However, it would also work. theoretically speaking, again, fantasy booking it, if Tennessee was to say, if the College Sports Commission, founded by the NCAA as a result of the House v. NCAA settlement, if that settlement was to say that all academic institutions playing sports under the NCAA banner, their NIL collectives were obligated to fulfill task A, B, and C. And then the Tennessee State Legislature was to pass some law that says NIL collectives working with Tennessee state schools must do C, D, and E. And C, D, and E stand in contrasting, not even contrasting, stand in absolute opposite positions from the NCAA's thing. And the University of Tennessee, Memphis, Vanderbilt, whatever, pick your school, was to say, well, we have to be compliant with Tennessee state law. Tennessee state law says we must do this, this, and this, which are diametrically opposed to what the NCAA says we must do. But if we don't do these things mandated by the Tennessee state legislature, we don't get state funding. And if we don't get state funding, we're not a school anymore. But those things that Tennessee makes them do legislatively actually help them, right? They're not laws that restrict. They're laws that push them to do more and do things that other schools in the SEC, the ACC, the Big Ten, the Big 12 can't do unless their states pass a law that say the same thing. And don't get me wrong, I suspect many of them would. But again, if they do, then they can start crafting their own laws that not just match Tennessee's, but maybe do more for their schools. And now Tennessee is the one getting left behind. You want to talk about the wild, wild west? If every state government, or at least the ones that care about the athletic programs at their state institutions, if every school in every state started seeing their state craft unique legislative policy that puts them ahead of everybody else, and then the other states play catch up and they go a little bit more. There's your Wild West. I have been complaining for a while now about the use of the term the Wild West. I get it, and you're not even necessarily wrong. The issue I've always taken with it is that by utilizing that term, the Wild West in college sports, to me, you cast aspersion on the people who benefit from it, not the people who made it a thing. And your ire, in my opinion, should be directed at the people who made it that way, not the people benefiting from it. So if you want to get mad about the wild, wild west of college sports, you ought right now be getting upset with the state of Tennessee and Senate Bill 536, which is the Wild Wild West. Hey, we're going to let our schools do stuff that your schools can't do, which means that your state either has to allow them to do it, which means they'll likely allow them to do more and keep up, or get left behind, not have the same resources to compete. It's the same discussion that we have had about the ACC by being given two less automatic qualifier berths in the college football playoffs, which means, therefore, they are only guaranteed half as much money from the college football playoff as the SEC and the Big Ten. Can't keep up. They are already at a disadvantage. The SEC and the Big Ten are handing out north of $110 million per school per year. The ACC gave out $45 million, and that's the most they've ever. Now, who do you think's going to be able to get more done? The school that's got $112 million in the coffers or the school that's got $45? Come on, you're a grown-up. You know the answer to that. So, with that being said, it's just a state legislature-involved version of that same conversation. If Tennessee's state legislature says, our school is allowed to X, Y, and Z, and the state of Ohio does not act to match that, The Ohio State Buckeyes are now at an inherent disadvantage to the Tennessee Volunteers because they have to follow rules that Tennessee does not in the same game. And that's, to me, that's a problem. I will go to bat on behalf of the horse chestnuts in that situation. Because at the end of the day, there is one thing in life. My old man used to say all the time, buddy, life's not fair. That was one of his catchphrases. He had a few. One of them was, life's not fair. I go, wait a minute, Dad. This kid over here, you know, I turned 16 and you gave me a 12-year-old beat up Cadillac DeVille that's as old as I am. And my old man went, okay. And I go, that guy over there's dad bought him a brand new truck. That's not fair. And the old man would go, buddy, life's not fair. And that was a life lesson. I'm glad he taught it to me because now in the real world where adults operate, I am very familiar with the understanding that life's not fair. There's a lot of cats out there that don't understand. Life's not fair. Not everybody gets the same stuff. It's very frustrating sometimes. But
thank you for proving that because those sound like rich kid problems.
I mean, again, like
someone giving someone a car?
In retrospect now as an adult, number one, I'm very glad he taught me that lesson that way. Number two, I recognize it was still a pretty damn nice car. Still a pretty nice car. 3.2 liter North Star V8 engine. My caddy would have outrun every other car in that parking lot. It was a land yacht, and I hated it because it wasn't a cool, hip new car. Now, as an adult, I'll tell you right now, if I can find a 1998 Cadillac Seville with the OG 3.2 liter V8 North Star in it, I'm buying that car on the spot.
Sounds like
it was a great ride.
A hoopty that would seat 15.
Look it up. It was like a big damn car. Four-seater, big damn car, right? Anyway, but the point is, I learned the life's not fair lessons. However, there is one spot in our lives that I do not subscribe to that theory, and it is on the field of competition. When it comes to a sport that everybody has a crack at the title, it is the one place where it does not matter if your school is rich or poor, from the city or the country, the north side, the south side. It does not matter if it is a religious institution, a secular institution. It doesn't matter if it's a private school, if it's a state school. If you are playing under the NCAA banner with an opportunity to win a college football playoff national championship, everyone should be playing under the same blanket rules. Some may be able to go further under those rules, but everyone should have the same ones. The NCAA and the power conferences are on their way to developing a blanket set of rules that everyone would have to play under. And the state of Tennessee said, that don't work for me, dog. We're going to give our guys a special exemption. And if they do that, then all of the report about all of this stuff that Dellinger put in his article, all of it becomes absolutely pointless. A waste of time. Exactly right. All of it becomes a waste of time because there is no other school that is going to be obligated to follow up because every state legislator will follow Tennessee's example and they're going to all outdo each other in the college sports arms race. Then you have your Wild Wild West truly and legislatively, which is good luck beating that. Take a break. Come back here in just a minute. Let's talk some Stanley Cup playoffs. The Florida Panthers and the Carolina Hurricanes set for game one of the Eastern Conference Finals tonight, 8 p.m. Let's take a look at game one. Let's take a look at the series. I'll tell you why I absolutely do believe the Canes can move on from the series, but they got to get one thing right that they did not in the last series. And I'll tell you what it is when we come back on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe, without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything, to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you, from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Carolina Hurricanes, Florida Panthers, round three, Eastern Conference semifinals getting underway tonight in Raleigh, North Carolina. Look, this is a interesting and fun spot for your boy Rob Brown. This is what, the third time that these two teams have met up with each other for either conference semifinals or conference finals since I have moved here. Obviously, as a kid who spent roughly 33 years living in various areas across the Sunshine State, with the exception of the butthole of America, Jacksonville, Florida, I love the state of Florida. I do. I love Key West. I love Miami. I love Coral Gables. Judge Away. I love Orlando. I love Destin, Pensacola, my hometown. I love the state of Florida. And it is, in its own antagonistic way, very fun for me to be able to tell my Canadian amigos, of which I have a few of them, that hockey belongs to Florida, baby. So I'm good with the Panthers moving on from this series. However, as I do, you may know this, live in the Carolinas. And they are the Carolina Hurricanes, not the North Carolina Hurricanes, not the Raleigh Hurricanes. They are the Carolina Hurricanes. And on top of that, because this team, I think, was one of the first professional teams at the highest level of American professional sports to decide, you know what? Hear us out. What if we don't take ourselves seriously, right? Like, what if we have fun? What if we act like our fans act about the game? What if we have fun? When Don Cherry, after they started doing the skull clap and dunk contest on the ice post-win sellies, when Don Cherry, legendary hockey dude, he was the one that always wore the funny suit jackets, called Carolina a bunch of jerks well before I moved here. When he called them a bunch of jerks, and the very next year, Carolina opened their season by selling shirts that were the exact same as their official NHL shirts that had the flag and said Hurricanes across the front. But instead of Hurricanes, it said bunch of jerks. Oh, I was all in. I was all in. And considering the fact that as a hockey lover and somebody who's going to talk about the Stanley Cup playoffs all the way until somebody lifts the arguably most prestigious trophy in all of American professional sports, I'm going to talk about it, but let's keep it a buck here. If the Hurricanes are alive and in contention, I have a lot more leeway to talk a lot more hockey, and I'm a selfish dude, and that's what I want to do. So go Canes. I'm good with either one of these two teams winning the series, provided that the winner goes on to win Lord Stanley's Cup. These two teams have a lot in common with each other, and one primary major difference between them. They have a lot in common with each other in that both of them right now are being anchored by the two best goalies in these playoffs. Jake Oettinger for Dallas has been spectacular. Had a questionable opening round series, that again, so did Frederik Andersen. Had a questionable first round series, has been dominant ever since. Was under assault from the Winnipeg Jets, held the line. Goaltending is how you win Stanley Cups. That is why it is very interesting, the goaltending matchup in this series. You got Frederik Andersen going for Carolina as goaltender one. And then you've got Sergei Bobrovsky, a.k.a. Bob, going for the Florida Panthers. Bob, similar situation. Round one, had some spots where he looked a little shaky. Round two, Sergei Bobrovsky turned back into Bob, held the Maple Leafs to one or two goals in pretty much every game. Games where Florida had the offense clicking, they won. Games where the offense wasn't clicking, they did not. These two teams are anchored by arguably the best two goaltenders in the Stanley Cup playoffs this year. Perhaps Jake Oettinger would replace one or both of them. There are no it's no worse than the top three. Even Connor Hellebuyck was not as good, at, in my opinion, as Freddie and Bob have been for their teams leading up to these series. So both of these teams are going to give up very few goals to the opposition, which means that there is one strength that lines up with one weakness for the Carolina Hurricanes that I think if Florida takes advantage of, it could win them this series. That if Carolina does not account for and play to, could lose them this series. And it is this. The Florida Panthers play not physical hockey. They play antagonistic hockey. The Florida Panthers do not play physical hockey, as in we're going to get up and down the ice and we're going to hit you every time we have the opportunity. The Florida Panthers play hockey that says not only are we going to hit you every opportunity we have, hell, we're going to hit you some of the opportunities that we don't and shouldn't. They are going to hit you off the puck. They are going to hit you anytime that they see the back number on the referee's jersey skating the other way. They're going to pop you. Maybe it's just a stick to the lower extremities. Maybe it's a full-blown smack into the chiclets. They're going to get you. That's a strength for Florida. They are antagonistic. The reason that, told you this when they made the trade, the reason that they went and they made the trade to get Brad Marchand, a.k.a. on this show, Brad, up out of Boston. They made a trade that got the Boston Bruins to send El Capitan to them. Why do you think they did that? The reason is because Brad is the definition of antagonistic player. He is the single most antagonistic player in the NHL. That's why he is the only player in the NHL who is called by only his first name on this show, Brad, because he's been doing it for years. Well, Florida knew what they wanted to be. They knew they wanted to be physical. They knew they wanted to be antagonistic. The style of play that the Florida Panthers have embraced the last couple of years, it just was not working for this team as well this year as it had been in years past. So, in my ever so humble opinion, the Florida Panthers said, tell you what, if we want to go play this style of hockey, let's go get the guy who does it better than anybody else. Let's go get Brad. In my opinion, they brought Brad down to do exactly what they've wanted to do the whole time, which is play an antagonistic style of hockey that works on getting you to make mistakes. And I'm talking about that twofold. Obviously, mistakes playing the game. They want to create turnovers. They want you more concerned with where the next big hit is coming from than where you are playing the puck away from your side of the ice. They want you dialed in on, where's Brad? Where's Barkov? Where are the guys that will lay lumber on me? Let me make sure I'm aware of their positioning on the ice to the detriment of knowing your own teammates' position on the ice, knowing the puck's position on the ice, knowing the offensive shape's position on the ice, et cetera, et cetera. Now, that's a big problem. That in and of itself, that's a hockey problem. That's something you got to deal with a different format with every team that you play, every game that you play them. Where this becomes a problem for Carolina, in my opinion, is exactly what I said all the way through the Eastern Conference semifinals, their last series against the Washington Capitals. This team has a tendency to play undisciplined. This team has a tendency to react. This team has a tendency to want to fire back at you. If you get physical with the bunch of jerks, the bunch of jerks want to get physical with you. And they will often do it to the detriment of the game of hockey. That is why, in a spot and an opportunity to drive the Washington Capitals to the brink of elimination, there was a spot where Carolina was already on the power play, up two goals, 7-8 minutes left to play. All they had to do was finish the game not being dumb, and they were going to do just that. And instead, they took a cheap shot on one side. They came back down. A skater for the Caps got away down the right-hand side, got slammed into the boards, interference called. Now it's 5-on-3. Washington with Alex Ovechkin on the ice is going to score 5-on-3. They did. They brought it to within one. Just like that, we had a hockey game on our hands. That should not have been. Should have been a blowout. Ended up being a close game. If you do that against these Florida Panthers, they don't have an Alex Ovechkin. They do have about 4 out of their starting 5 that can snipe. So if you do that against Florida and you give them 4 or 5 power plays in a night, you're going to lose. If the Carolina Hurricanes play out front of their skates and respond to the antagonistic nature of the Florida Panthers, they will lose tonight and they will lose this series. This series is going to be dictated by and predicated on Carolina's ability to go, okay, cool, they hit us. They cheap shot at us. They're being physical. They're being over-aggressive. Whatever, play our game. If the Canes play their game, they win this series. If they do not win this game and they respond to what Florida's doing, they will lose the series. Back.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews, or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
After this on the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate. During the break, I was scrolling through the old phone because, you know, you like to be able to keep up with what is going on, with what is happening, and kind of have an idea of what's taking place in the world. However, one of the websites that I do routinely check, which is a conglomeration website, effectively it just captures articles, podcasts, write-ups of all the sports, and it hosts them all on one site with links that redirect you to another area, links that take you somewhere else to actually read the story, but it just puts all the stuff together in one spot. I was looking at a headline during the break that I wanted to check in on. And the headline was Bryson DeChambeau, who, of course, played in the U.S. Open this past week at Quail Hollow, right outside of Charlotte, North Carolina. Bryson DeChambeau accused of unacceptable behavior at U.S. Open. And I went, oh. Because there are some stories going on right now about the behavior of some of the golfers at the U.S. Open. Wyndham Clark is one of them. After a drive that went awry for Wyndham Clark at the U.S. Open, Wyndham Clark took his driver, he turned around, and he absolutely let it rip at a sponsor sign that was behind the tee box. It punched a hole in it. While this was happening, Wyndham Clark expressed a profanity-ridden tirade that was picked up on television cameras and radio shows, and obviously by the number of fans who were all gathered around the tee box. I believe it was on 16 to watch golfers play golf. And Wyndham Clark was basically called out by the PGA Tour. He was basically called out by the USGA, by the people who organize and run this event, for inappropriate behavior on the golf course. Because while there is a space for excitement and enthusiasm and energy on the golf course, I think the rise of Tiger Woods was kind of the proof of that, and the lingering effect of Tiger Woods are still there. While there is a space for that, there's obviously a line for it. And standing directly in front of a tee box full of fans who have paid good money to show up, many of them brought their kids with them, unleashing a torrent of F-bombs because you hit a bad drive and spiking your driver into the sponsor sign next to the tee box, yeah, that ain't it. Okay? That's not it. That's something that Rob Brown does on hole three of the local Muni course when there's nobody around him. That's my thing, not yours, Wyndham. So I found this this article that says Bryson DeChambeau accused of unacceptable behavior at U.S. Open. And I went, okay, what'd Bryson do? I was watching the U.S. Open on Sunday with a group of people. A wife threw a graduation party for a friend's daughter. I went to help out. Me and the husband and some of the other dads that were there did not help out. Instead, we all sat around the TV and watched the U.S. Open. And we were having a conversation about Bryson DeChambeau. How Bryson DeChambeau may go into the books as the definition of a positive image reevaluation. Bryson DeChambeau, during his "I'm going to use math and barbells to beat everybody" phase, was really disliked by like the majority of golf fans. They just didn't like the guy. And he had an attitude on the golf course that wasn't, it wasn't like, oh, that's a fun bleep talking attitude. No, no, no. He was just petulant most of the time. Well, Bryson went to the LIV Tour. Bryson gave himself an image makeover. Bryson is now making one of the most popular golf YouTube channels on all of YouTube. Hilariously, by the way, and this is funny, apparently turns out that Bryson's YouTube channel is actually not owned by Bryson DeChambeau. It's actually opened, PGA Championship. I keep saying U.S. Open. JD, thank you for the correction. PGA Championship at Quail Hollow. Bryson DeChambeau's YouTube channel is actually owned by LIV Tour and therefore owned by the Saudi Arabian Public Investment Fund and therefore owned by the Saudi Arabian government. But whatever, right? Whatever. It's a popular YouTube channel. Guy's on there having fun. He's got celebrities rolling up. He played golf with the president a few weeks ago. He was doing this fun thing where he was flying fans to his house to get them to, if you hit a hole in one over my house, I'll give you $50,000. Like, it was, he's just fun. He's having a good time. And on top of that, and I saw it happen at the U.S. Open last year at Pinehurst. I saw it happen at just about every event. Bryson DeChambeau right now is the golfer that is going out of his way after he hits a tee shot, after he knocks down a putt on a green, after he hits a great approach, whatever. Not only does he show a little emotion and celebration on the course, but Bryson DeChambeau has taken to being one of a few golfers that actually engages with the fans during the round, right? Most guys aren't doing that. I'm locked in. I got to stay mentally locked in. Golf's a game of mentality. If you lose the mentality, your game goes awry and you lose. Bryson DeChambeau's mentality is playing loose, baby. Sometimes it's bad for him, like it was at the PGA Championship this weekend. A lot of times it's really good for him. Bryson DeChambeau's interacting with the kids in the gallery. He's interacting with people that are calling him out for good shots. There was a video not too long ago from the conclusion of a round at a tournament a while back. It may have been last year, where he is on the putting green, the practice putting green, and he's knocking down long putts. And this kid walks up to the fence and he goes, "Bryson, I'll make a bet with you. $50 if you can knock a putt down. And he called out a hole that was like, you know, 17, 18 feet away. Not an easy putt. Not the worst one Bryson's ever lined up. He says, I'll make a bet. I'll give you $50 if you knock that putt down. Bryson DeChambeau very clearly does not need $50. But he took the bet. And he said, what do you want if I don't make it? And the kid, without hesitation, said, your socks. It's a weird thing to ask for, right? Like, ordinarily, you'd say a glove, the putter, a signed ball, a picture, an autograph. You'd say something like that. This kid said, I want your socks.
Does he have, like, signature socks or something?
Nope.
I mean, it should, okay.
Nope. My man was just
not
wearing. Normal socks. And Bryson has this moment. It's very funny. He's videoing. He has this moment where he's like, my socks. And the guy goes, yeah. He goes, of all the bets you've ever made, how many people have asked for your socks? And Bryson goes, yeah, you're the only one. He goes, exactly. I'll be the only person in the world who owns a pair of Bryson DeChambeau socks. And Bryson's like, I don't hate it. So he lines up the putt, and he misses the putt, and he sits down on the green, and he takes off his golf shoes, and he takes off the socks, and he signs one of the socks, and he gives them to the kid, and he walks back to the clubhouse barefoot. And as he's getting to the barefoot, all the other PGA-caliber professional golfers, big names, are looking at him, and they're like, dude, why are you barefoot? And he just explains it dry, like it's totally normal. He's like, hey, I lost the bet to a kid, had to give him my socks. And the dudes are like, what? Bryson's like, yeah, lost the bet, had to give him my socks. And then just walks away. Even I enjoyed it in that spot.
It's very Happy Gilmore-ish.
There's no
room in the game of golf for stuff like that.
And Bryson DeChambeau is proving, as Tiger Woods did, that is the opposite of true. It turns out golf fans are our sports fans too, and we like to have a little bit of fun. Bryson has engaged that, whatever. It's the definition of the makeover of the public image, and it has worked for Bryson DeChambeau, right? So, I saw this article that said Bryson DeChambeau accused of questionable behavior. That was it, questionable. Questionable behavior at PGA Championship. And I was like, you know, even if he is got a public image makeover that has very much worked, that people are on board with, he is still one of the most polarizing golfers on the tour. I feel like if Bryson DeChambeau did something that was questionable behavior, it'd have been front page news, or at least for the golf fans that check out the front page of the golf section, it'd have been front page news. It had, like, what did he do? So I opened the article. The article, which came from, by the way, a well-respected sports site. This wasn't like some cast-off, you know, third-rate, nobody knows who the hell they are golf site. It's like a respectable site. Basically, found a former professional golfer, not a good one, not one that I recognize, but a guy who had some starts on the tour. Found a former professional golfer who called out the fact that when Bryson DeChambeau was tied on Saturday for the lead, on the back nine of his Saturday round, tied for the lead with Scottie Scheffler, up at the top of the leaderboard, has a real chance to win this event, because remember, the back nine at Quail Hollow, they call it the Green Mile. It is long, it is narrow, it is built for guys who knock the cover off the golf ball and hit it long and straight. This is Bryson DeChambeau. Back nine at Quail Hollow, built for Bryson DeChambeau. Well, he gets to, I think, 13 or 14, one of the holes that has water down the left-hand side. And there's two ways to play the hole. There's the way that everybody was playing the hole, which is to go right, be safe, and just write down a par before you even start the hole. And then there's another option, which is to go left. There's a very small landing zone, and if you land outside of that zone, the ground is tapered over towards the water, and if you miss the landing zone, that thing's getting wet. So Bryson DeChambeau, tied for the lead, decides, I'm up against Scottie Scheffler, right? This is being in game six against Kobe. You know what Kobe can do. You know what Kobe's going to do. I'm going to try to get him now so that he has to go double hard to get me back. So Bryson goes left. and he overdrives the landing zone, and the ball bounces. It hits the water. Bryson DeChambeau turns in a double bogey. He later tries to make up that double bogey, ends up turning in another one, and he goes from tied for the lead at 8-under with Scottie Scheffler to like 4-under in three holes. Just disappears from the leaderboard. So I'm like, did he get frustrated and like cuss out a rules official, tell a fan to eat my shorts, whatever? I opened the article. They found an ex-golfer who said that Bryson DeChambeau's decision to go for the small landing area to try to get it away from the water and give himself a chance when he knew Scotty was going to go the safe route, give himself a chance for a birdie when he knew Scotty was going to par that hole and a one-stroke lead with four to play or whatever on Saturday's round, that was inappropriate and unacceptable behavior. And I thought,
listen, it's a gentleman's game. You can't be doing that kind of underhanded stuff, trying to undercut and do things that's not the proper way that golf is done.
You know, I've been playing golf for a very, very long time now. And I was under the impression, and I guess it's misguided, as I've just been informed by some dude whose name I've already forgotten because I closed the article and I'll never go back to that website, and Lonzo. I did not know that trying to shoot a lower score than your opponent is disrespectful to the game.
Doesn't it sound like baseball's unwritten rules?
I was so unaware of that.
Yeah.
It does. And even as a baseball guy, Lonzo, I have been anti the unwritten rule for a very long time.
It's very ridiculous. Yeah, the whole point of any game is to win the game. I mean, it wasn't like he was cheating. He took a risk. It didn't pay off. You know, I don't know.
Yeah, because here's the thing. If he hits that landing zone and he birdies that hole and now he's 9-under and the best golfer on planet Earth, Scottie Scheffler's 8-under with 3 to play on Saturday with a very good chance of taking a one-stroke lead into Sunday and giving himself a cushion against the best player in the world, do you know what that article would have said? Bryson DeChambeau has rocks like boulders and plays like it, and we should all love him for that game. But no. He tried it. It didn't work out. And the headline is Bryson DeChambeau accused of questionable decision-making, not questionable shot, not questionable play, Lonzo, questionable behavior. I'm like, dude, never coming back. I am begging all of you, America at large, this nation can fix itself very easily. And the fix is for all of us to recognize when a website, an article, an author, a whatever is being clickbaity and ignore them forever. I have blocked that website. I will never be on it again. Block it, because stuff like that is dumb. The man was playing to win a golf tournament. You know who else is going to win? You, life, for listening to this Sports Flash.
He also cost himself a lot of money by taking that risk. Spencer Strider is off the injured list and will return to the pitching rotation today. He is expected to start against the Nationals on the road this evening for the Atlanta Braves. Strider has thrown one game this year, allowing 2 runs on 5 hits against the Blue Jays, but strained his hamstring, sending him back to the IL. But he's healthy now and ready to go. Carolina Hurricanes will open the Eastern Conference Finals of the Stanley Cup playoffs tonight against the Florida Panthers. Carolina will host the series opening with games 1 and 2 in Raleigh. The Hurricanes are a slight favorite in the series. The Green Bay Packers have revised their proposal to ban the tush-push made infamous by the Philadelphia Eagles. Under the new rule proposal, offensive players would not be able to provide any assistance to a ball carrier with the exception of blocking opponents. Hour number 4 of the Rob Brown Show is up next right here on The Fan Upstate.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America. For America.
Nerds. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.